Let's begin our message here with a word. Father, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. I thank you that we have the ability in which to be able to share your word. I like how you bring things together, Lord, and your whole scripture verses that you have in the Bible just complement one another. And I thank you for that. There seems to be a harmony within Scripture. And I just pray that today that there's just a harmony within the message that glorifies you, Lord. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So there was a... Youth is going to head downstairs and do their thing. The message is called Blessings, and I've got to thinking, you know, sometimes we take blessings for granted in a way. And we kind of even use blessings in a funny way, too. It was kind of, which was, again, well, God synchronizes things. The cartoon for in the paper here this week was Pickles. And there was the grandfather, which is on the right. Does he have a name, or do they just call him? What is it?
Earl.
Is the grandfather?
Yeah.
And then what's the other guy's name? I thought the other guy's name was Earl. No, okay. Anyhow, that's his, Earl's the grandfather on the right. And he has this friend that he meets up with every while. And so the friend, sneezes and he says, bless you. Next one is, kachua, so he says, bless you again. And then he's like, what's you? And he tells him again, bless you. And then he sneezes yet a fourth time. Nothing happens. Right, he doesn't say anything. And then he says, sorry, my limit is three bless yous. After that, it's drop dead already. And it's like, our blessings sometimes are limited, for people after they sometimes offend us enough or, this is just enough, enough you of this. So I don't know why we even say bless you in those realms and stuff like that. When someone sneezes, I think the thought is maybe your heart stops at that moment. And so I don't know. I've heard a lot of stories. I think what it is a lot of times when we give our blessings, it's kind of just a standard blessing. You might as well stamp it here and stamp it there sometimes. Because we don't always mean bless you. You think about some of the Old Testament blessings that were given out. They were pretty severe in terms of, when I say severe, I don't mean always mean or nasty, but there was a lot of weight that was applied to those blessings. When you think of Esau and Jacob, when Jacob stole that birthright and the blessing and stuff like that, Esau came in and he was upset that there was no blessing for him. And my understanding, I was like, why can't there be a blessing for him? What is there that there can't be? And even Jacob blesses, his entire family, all of his boys, and there was only one really good blessing in there. All the other ones were really there was not a good future that was put in there. It was only Joseph was the one that had, the prominent good blessing. And even when Jacob went to bless Joseph's children, Ephraim and Manasseh, right? He did it in the opposite order, but he meant to do it that way, And so the blessings meant an awful lot. And sometimes we tend to forget the blessings that we, are striving for, or the ones that even the ones that we receive, sometimes we take them for granted. And we forget the value of the blessings that God gives us. So today's going to be one of those messages. We're going to look at the heart of the blessing, what it means to be blessed or to have the blessings from I think from the core aspects. There's so many blessings that obviously you can't deal with all of those things. But I want to talk about the first reading that we have right now is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, and it says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. And we're going to get to what all of that is. But think about this, in the essence, do you do everything that you do so that you can share in the blessing of God.
Repeat that.
Everything that you do, do you do it in the realms of the blessings from God?
Oh yeah. Yes. Most definitely.
There you go.
Yeah. Amen to that.
And then there's those that may not feel that way. And it's perfect, you know, it's your relationship with God, and that's why we're here. You know, not everyone has the same as we're looking at it, but we look at this. Paul, he says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessing. I mean, this is a man that really had a zeal for the Lord. He put heart, body and soul and mind and everything into the ministry that he was doing. And he's looking at it, and he knows that's what he's doing. But he's doing it for the blessings. So we kind of wonder what those blessings are. Before we get to that, we want to look and see what maybe he was doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go a little bit before this, and it's going to be in 1 Corinthians, because I want you to see, a lot of times when you read a verse and stuff, it's always a good idea to read a little bit before and a little bit afterwards so that you can kind of get a gist of what is happening during that time. So if we look at 1 Corinthians, I want to go all the way back to verse 19. And it's the title that I have is Paul's Use of His Freedom. And he says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And then he says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. So what is Paul's mission, according to what he feels that he's been given by God and which to do?
To bless everybody.
By what?
By
sharing the gospel. Right? And in sharing the gospel, everyone comes to the Lord?
No.
No. Some will come to the Lord. But Paul's doing what he needs to do in order to be able to share that gospel, and that's where he feels that he receives this blessing from God. Because why? He's doing God's work. He's doing what God has told him to do. Now, yes, we are supposed to spread the gospel. Yes, we are supposed to proclaim, you know, that we are Christians and we shouldn't hold back on that sort of thing. But I want it to be clear, too, that you are not Paul. Right? Paul himself had a very specific ministry. And everyone here has their specific ministry. But I think what Paul is saying in here, and relating to it, that if you want to share in God's blessings, then whatever your ministry is that God has given you to do, whether it's a prayer ministry, whether it's, I know, like, you know, card ministry, or whether it's, just devoting or being able to speak to individuals, friends, you know, whatever the ministry is about the gospel, right? You need to do it. And you need to do it with the desire and the heart that, as Paul is showing here, if you want to share in the blessings that we've got. Because there's many times where God has given individuals a ministry and they've walked away from that. They pulled away because they say, oh, either I'm not worthy or I just don't want to do this. And guess what you miss out on is God's blessing. And it may be hard. I'm not saying that, you know, that all God's ministries are easy. Some of them can be easy. They seem to come naturally to you. They just come and just flow out of you, and it just seems to go really well. And there's other times that it's really difficult. You've got to really struggle. You've got to really discipline. You've got to really, you know, stay focused. And there's an awful lot of, you know, things that can come at you while you're doing that. And it doesn't seem like there's that blessing that's there. But for some reason, Paul is saying that because he's doing what God is telling him to do with all that he has, that it's then that he gets to share in his blessings. But you see, we take that differently in this world. We look at God's blessings not as just that others can hear the gospel and that we might be able to share in that sort of thing, but we look at God's blessings as, well, look how rich I am now. I'm so rich, God must be blessing me. Well, look at me, I'm healthy. God is blessing me. Can't say what's happening to that other person over there, because they're in the hospital all the time. Must be they've got real problems with God's relationship. Well, that's how the Jews believed. That's not how New Testament Christians believe. Okay, our physical health is not a determining factor in our relationship with God. Our wealth is not a determining factor with our relationship with God. But yet, many people, and there's preachers that will be out there preaching, that if you want God's blessings, do this, and He'll bless you with riches. He'll bless you with blessings after blessing after blessing. Well, I think there's some people out there that would say that's not exactly true, because there's people that know God and are very fervent for God, but yet they have a hard life. They ask for healing all the time because their body is broken and it doesn't seem to come. And yet they still cling to God through all of that. That when a family member is lost or a family member is killed, you know, before, you know, natural death kind of comes in, whether it's an infant, whether it's a teenager, whatever, that Christian is still praying for those individuals just as strongly as when they did when that first happened. And they haven't lost their faith. I tell you, those people are in, you know, have the blessings that God has for them. From this world's perspective, it doesn't make sense. But we have that sort of thing. And we look at this, and even, we dealt with this, and we can see this sort of thing in terms of what's happening here. Let's go to another situation. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 45. And this is Elizabeth. This is Mary's cousin, I think. That's right. I can't remember. Always. When they were both pregnant, Mary with Jesus and Elizabeth with John the Baptist. And Mary says this, or Elizabeth says this, "Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord had said to her will be accomplished." You know, and Elizabeth was really just filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and she came out and she started saying these things. And you look at it and it's like, why is it that, you know, Elizabeth would say this about Mary? But remember, Mary had that encounter with Gabriel, the angel sent by God. And he told her, you know, that she was, you know, highly favored. She's just a girl. You know, how could she be so special? But it must have been her relationship with the Lord that made it so. And then after she was told all this thing, I'm sure she didn't understand or comprehend all that the angel had told her. But what she says, I had to write it down, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then Elizabeth says this later on. And we're looking at that. That is that trust. That is that knowing that God is there. And then we look at the blessings that come from trusting the Lord and not knowing what the future is going to hold. I I mean, you could be excited about sort of the things that God has chosen you to do a certain thing, but then when you come face to face with it, when Mary came face to face with seeing Jesus on the cross, you ask me if she would really have wanted that back during the time when she was first talked with Gabriel. But she still held close to God. You read about Scripture that she's in constant prayer with the disciples, and she went with his ministry and continued to do that sort of thing. All right, she held strong, not knowing future events of what's going to happen and the tough stuff that you go through. And yet, Jesus himself, you know, speaks about, you know, as he's speaking to the crowd, and he's giving all this these words of wisdom and stuff, and then we get this response sometimes from the audience that hears it, because obviously Jesus, you know, makes these profound statements and moves, you know, his spirit is just, you know, touching those around and really quenching some of the, you know, the hypocrisies and stuff that were around during that day. But think about this. In Luke 11, 27 through 28, it says, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And with, you know, because she's thinking, wow, this woman is really blessed because she has a son that's able to do all of these things. And then let's look at Jesus' response, right? He said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God. I stopped on purpose because you know what's coming. And obey it. It's one thing to know that there's a God out there. It's another thing to serve that God. It's one thing to know and memorize God's word. It's another thing to put that word into practice. But when you do those things, there are blessings upon blessings that you can't comprehend. And I'm thinking, sometimes we take blessings so much for granted. But we have to really sometimes sit back, every once in a while, you don't have to do it all the time, but just stop. Go into that quiet room and start to reflect on your relationship with God and your commitment to Him and the blessings that can kind of come from that. And even like what Jeff was saying, you know, today, those times where, you know, we really, you know, don't do the things that God has asked us to do. But then, you know, we start to read His Word, and all of a sudden, there's new life that starts to come back into us again, right? That new life that we have and absorbing His Word, and that Word making a difference in our souls, in our minds, in our hearts, and the things that we do, that's the blessing that we're talking about. That's what makes a difference for us. Let's look at this one here, because I think, I don't know how to say this, but the writers of the Scripture didn't necessarily have easy lives. And they understood that there's a hardness of in the world around us that makes our Christian walk harder than what it needs to be. And so we go through struggles, we go through persecution, we go through, you know, this just conflict and maybe division within our family, not because of, you know, who we are, but because of our faith that makes a difference. So let's look at this here in James chapter 1, verse 12. He said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, right, these are the blessings that come, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. There is an end, a culmination, I should say, of our walk with God. And it really comes down to this, that we will receive a crown. What does that crown mean? Well, it can mean lots of things, but it means that we're recognized for who we are and what we're doing. right? We're given, you know, a special name even, you know, that's only known between us and God. And I think it's kind of a special relationship that we have. And it's so neat that as we struggle through this world and all the things that we do with our job, with our relationships, and we persevere through that, and we hold true to what God has intended us to do, that there are blessings that come from that. You may not receive them right now, but that's okay because they are there. How do I know they're there? Because God says so. It's as simple as that. I may not feel it, I may not have experienced that, but I know that they are there because God says so, and I believe His word to be truth. No, I believe His word to be absolute truth. Pat.
So can we go by feelings? Because we had this discussion this morning about, do we really love Him? Because you think of, do I really love God? You know. And that's kind of scary, because if it's a feeling, sometimes you're like, you know, where were we reading this morning, Tom? But it's basically, He who does my word loves me. Mm-hmm. And that's how we know we love Him, because we want to do His word.
Yeah.
We want to live His word. We might fail sometimes, but He sees us completely acceptable and holy in His sight once He's in our heart. So we just keeping on. But sometimes I question, do I love Him the way I need to love Him?
Could I answer that in a different way? It's not by feelings that you go.
Right.
It's believing that Christ loved you first. Because you can't love Christ unless you know that Christ loves you.
Right.
When He loves you, you love Him. You don't feel that thing. You know
it. It's not a feeling.
It's not a feeling.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. It's in your heart.
Right.
Once in a while, I'll say, Jesus, I do love you. I do say it. Lord God, I love you.
And Jackie put a thing on Facebook the other day that really struck me again. People talk, encouraging each other without even realizing it. But it was the picture there of God up here and this little person down here. And what did it say? What does God require of you, really? And it had the little person giving them
the heart.
Their heart. That's what He requires
heart.
Of you, your heart.
And God said, that's all I want.
That's all I really want.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. That's good.
To go along with that, with feelings, thank God it isn't depending on our feelings all the time. Sometimes, except for Tom and Pat. Hope probably doesn't love you sometimes. Or our kids do something. We're like, oh, you're so angry at them or whatever. And your feelings right then are not very loving.
Right.
So thank God it's... Yes, you still love Him. You still love Him.
And He still loves you because it's unconditional.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
If I have a tough day, I say, well, Jesus, I still love you.
First John 19. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth. Oh, I'm sorry. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
No feelings.
Yeah. I like this. I really think this is kind of the way church should be, you know, and the messages should be and stuff, where you start to share back and stuff like that, because that's the Holy Spirit working on it. It complements everything that's being brought up and through here. That's the way God works anyhow. So one of the things that we really are blessed on in terms of becoming, you know, accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is that it goes all the way back to Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. He says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. Yeah. And so, you know, this is actually in Romans 4:7, this is brought up, and Paul brings this back up too. Excuse me. And speaks about this very thing in terms of sharing about that, because it is important to me. That is the blessings that we have, what Christ has done for us. And when we accept Jesus Christ, all of those blessings are bestowed upon us. That our sins are forgiven. And that they're, like it says, they're not counted against us, though we have done many of them. Right? They're all taken care of. And so that we can have a new chapter every day. We can have a new chapter every hour if we need to. And just to get back into that, that's the blessing that we have. But when we don't have those blessings, those sins compound us and weigh us down, and we no longer have that joy, the love that we can possibly have even on our own, because it prevents that from happening. It holds it down, that we can't lift our heads and everything. But I tell you, when we find God, right, and that's so important, is that those things around us just don't become important anymore. The sins that we have, we know that they're taken care of, so they're not troublesome anymore. Because we have that one perfect individual in our lives now, God. And Jesus refers to this a couple times when he talks about the kingdom of heaven. So we go to Matthew 13, 14, or 44 through 46, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." Are you willing to give up everything for that one item in that relationship with God? Are you willing to sacrifice everything and hold, you know, and give all that stuff up just so that you can have the most precious thing? And Jesus reuses a different example too for the same thing. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Right? Everything else that he had prior to that great pearl. Now, this is a person that obviously understands pearls and the values of them. So obviously it was really worth an awful lot. That he knew the value of that pearl. Just as you know the value of knowing Christ. That is the greatest item that you can possibly possess, is the relationship with God. Are you willing then to sell everything you have, or just get rid of everything you have in order to obtain that? Because when you have that, you have the biggest blessing in your life that you'll ever get. So I'm going to go all the way to the end of the book here, in the book of Revelation, and we're going to finish this up, because I think this is really where sometimes our focus should be. And it's not the very last scripture, but it's pretty close to the last scripture. It's in the last book. It says, Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. "Now, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." Let's break this down a little bit. What are we washing our robes of? What? What we're washing them of. The sin. And what do we use in order to wash our robes with? Mary Beth had that, Christ. All right, we can't physically wash the sin off of us, but the blood of Christ can wash that from us. There's only one way that that can happen, and that's through Christ. And then once we've got that, right, that gives us the right, because we now have the right to be called children of God by accepting Jesus Christ. And this is really what that's referring to, is having the right to the tree of life. That you are grafted in essence, to God's family tree there. And then we get to go into the city, the New Jerusalem, right? Where there is no weeping, there's no gnashing of teeth, there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no disease. There's nothing there that this world has because of sin. All that's there is everything that's pure and holy from the presence of God. Wow. Have you found that treasure yet? Have you found that blessing that's there for you today? It's there. Take hold of it, the way Paul explained that he took hold of it. Take hold of the way Jesus was saying about his word, and that it's not just knowing his word, but obeying it. Take hold of what everybody else was saying in terms of it's not just a feeling, but it is just, it's knowing that God's word is true. Take hold of it the way Jesus was using in the parables of the man with the pearls or the field or the treasure that was inside there. That's knowing that God is the greatest thing in this world and will always be the greatest thing in the world for eternity. And we have an opportunity in which to be part of that. To have a closeness with God that isn't for every being in a way. You know, it's like animals don't have that sort of made in God's image thing. Trees don't have that made in God's image thing. We, as humans, have been made in the image of God for the very purpose of being able to be His children. What a blessing that is. And yet there's a world out there, there's a big world out there that wants nothing to do with Christianity. That will blame Christianity for this and blame Christianity for that. We'll say that it's you can't believe in that sort of stuff. That's just stupid. That you're weak. I say it's just the opposite. There's a song out there. Count your blessings, right? One by one. And there's a lot of them. But the biggest blessing that you can have, and the blessing that really we can attain, is to have our name written in that book of life. It doesn't matter whether we have riches or not. It doesn't matter whether we have good health or not. It doesn't matter where we have problems at work. It doesn't matter if, you know, there's just struggle after struggle after struggle. What matters is your relationship with God. Work on that. Let that be the center focus of what you are doing and why you do the things you do. Just as Paul was saying, I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may save, may share in its blessing. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for this word, and I thank you for the contribution of everybody here. What I think what's so powerful about that is that we're not a dead church. We're a church that really is alive in the hearts of what we're supposed to be doing, because we know you, and we still continue to seek you, and there's encouragement from one to another. There's encouragement to those that don't even know Christ. There's a lot of work that's involved in that. And Father, I just thank you for this church and for this body. That encourages me. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen.